This is 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. And each Wednesday, we take a moment to talk about that word, community, and some of our focus with a partner in our community, specifically Ypsilanti. And that's when we bring in the on-the-ground Ypsilanti folks in the visage of Miss Brianna. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Introduce yourself again and tell us about the project.
I'm Brianna Kelly. I'm the project manager for On the Ground Ypsi, which is a five-month embedded reporting project. So I'm living and working in Ypsilanti, trying to make connections with residents and keep an eye and an ear out for the important stories that people want to hear.
And that is something that we hear a lot from people. They want more positive coverage of what's going on in Ypsilanti. And it's not just rays of sunshine and rainbows and unicorns and ponies. This is talking about problems our community faces, but bringing to the forefront the people and the places and the things that are working on solutions for those problems, because I can't think of very many things going on in our community that there's not somebody fighting hard to try and overcome an issue. And whether it's housing or food instability or retail businesses downtown or our children and how we educate them, there are people here fighting for you and for me and for everyone else in this community to try and make it a better place to live. We're all about quality of life here. So speaking of quality of life, what was your guest this week and who did you bring here to, what was your topic this week and who did you bring in to talk about it?
I wrote about the Autism Collaborative Center, and I brought Allison Greening with me today.
Good morning, Allison.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
The Autism Collaborative Center, it's at Eastern Michigan University, right?
Correct.
Okay, and how long has it been around?
The ACC has been in existence since at least 2008.
And but Allison, what is your role there?
The clinical manager.
Okay, so what was the basic premise that I'm assuming you haven't been here for the entire 9 years?
No, and okay. I think the ACC was even in existence prior to that, but in a different form.
Okay. What was the basic premise of why this was necessary, and why did Eastern do this as a service to our community?
We saw a huge need. There were a lot of folks that were coming to us and asking questions about how to get their child services in their home or outside of their home or in their school, and not a lot of resources. And that, unfortunately, was a result of a lack of funding, and the state of Michigan changed that for us.
And I just want to throw in a quick disclaimer there. I can speak firsthand about dealing with a kid with special needs and the lack of resources out there. As a matter of fact, my now 12-year-old son spent a couple summers here at Eastern's summer fun camp, and as part of that, took advantage of the resources at the ACC. I was very happy with it, of course, to each his own, and my son got a great deal out of the group therapy and the individual sessions there. But I can say from a lot of experience that finding a place that meets the needs of special needs children, specifically those on the autism spectrum, is incredibly difficult, especially as they get older. So I wanted to focus on a couple of things in that world. At the ACC, just give us a broad overview of some of the services that you offer, both in clinic and in home, and talk about, you know, what you do that might differentiate yourself from other offerings.
Very cool. So the ACC is particularly proud of their Applied Behavior Analysis program, their ABA program. We started that several years ago, and we're serving kids anywhere from the ages of 2 to 8 in a really intensive model. And we're seeing some great outcomes as kids are transitioning into kindergarten or preschool classrooms with minimal supports. But part of that is also taking care of the whole family and the parents. And so we are also working with parents weekly to come in and learn new skills that they can do in the home. We often ask them to take nice videos of what they're doing and show us, and then we can give them feedback and a lot of guidance. We have occupational therapy. We also have speech and language therapy, which is a really beautiful thing because it all becomes a one-stop shop. Mom can come, and she can be there with their child for an hour or 3 hours, but not have to drive all over Southeast Michigan to get these services.
And I know that a lot of what you do there is educational as well. I mean, we always make the kind of half-joking remark that if you've met one kid with autism, you've met one kid with autism. That is mm-hmm. an incredibly broad range of emotional impairments and sometimes physical impairments, too, where the speech and language therapy and things like that come into play. Having a wide variety of offerings almost as a necessity in today's treatment for kids with autism, right?
Certainly. Everyone needs a different level of intensity, a different level of service delivery, a different model. So we really like to have our families come in and we spend some time getting to know them and what are their priorities. And we really try to cater the services and treatment that they receive around their priorities and their needs.
Now, being part of EMU, too, you're offering educational opportunities for students on campus, right?
Correct.
And what can, and I know that Eastern has a long history of being involved in educational education, educating educators, our future educators, yeah. Especially in regards to special education. How does the ACC play a part in that?
Yeah, it's super cool. We're really excited. So we get occupational therapy students that get to come and work with our OT for a whole year to fulfill their requirements. We have speech and language pathology students that come and do the same. But then we also have those special education majors who are working as behavior technicians one-on-one with our kids in our program. And it's really cool to see them grow and learn these skills. And the ideas that they're learning in their classroom, they're applying in this really safe environment at the ACC, perfecting essentially what they need to go and be extremely well-rounded educators in our community.
Now, Brianna, you spent some time at the center. You spent the time observing what they do there, meeting their staff. What were some of your takeaways? What were some things that you learned that you might not have known before meeting these people?
I thought the really great thing about the ACC was their observation rooms. So they invite parents to come watch discreetly from an observation room, and sometimes they actually bring them into the room with their child too to teach them the techniques that they need to be enforcing and, you know, reinforcing at home. So to make sure that their children really, kind of soak up those skills.
Yeah, so we have these rooms that are set up where parents can come and they can even work from home, but from the observation room. So they can hook into whatever they need to as far as technology. We provide a desk, chairs, Wi-Fi, and they can literally work from that observation room while they're watching their child's therapy in real time.
And sometimes rocking chairs. I do remember the rocking chairs are very comfortable.
Yes.
Let's talk about some older kids for a moment now, too, and branch into adulthood. I know that one of the unique things about the ACC are the services that you offer in coordination with the university in regards to transitioning students from high school to college that have needs because of the disabilities associated with autism. Talk about the necessity of that and why you're partnering with Eastern to do that.
Yeah, so we can fix kids up, right, quote unquote, and have them be very successful in those elementary education years, junior high years, and even into high school years. But what we're finding is that there is a need for some independence around planning life and job readiness. So we like to really collaborate with the College Supports Program here on campus as far as providing some access to an OT and helping students learn how to use a planner to get themselves organized for their class assignments and their meetings and maybe their job. We coordinate with high schools directly as well.
And those emotional needs don't disappear once you turn 18. I mean, I would heard stories when we'd working with the yours and other facilities in the past about, a 23-year-old on the spectrum, being taken advantage of by younger students and thinking he's being a friend to them by going and buying them beer or hosting parties at his house and always being the one to buy pizza. I mean, those simple things become much more magnified when you're off there on your own. So you're stepping in and maybe lending emotional support to that type of student to help them be more successful in their career.
Emotional support. And I would also say our peers program is pretty incredible in providing some really clear-cut black and white instructions for those folks that are on campus of learning, when are your friends laughing with you as opposed to at you and how that might be a different sort of scenario.
And how do you see the importance of what you do growing as the preponderance of those with an autism diagnosis seems to be growing arithmetically throughout the United States and throughout the world, frankly, as time goes on here? I mean, we're facing generations of students now with a much different set of needs than those that preceded them.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take a whole new vision as far as where do we find community spaces where it's safe for all of these students to start to get together and organize themselves and put together social clubs and groups and things where they can support one another as they are going through college or job seeking.
And remove some of that stigma associated with it as well, that these can be fully functioning members of society that have a lot to offer, and then educating employers past their college experience about how to get the most benefit out of this person as an employee but it's still acknowledging that they have some issues. I mean, we all have issues, right? Yeah. This is just a different set of issues, but it shouldn't prove detrimental to their long-term career.
Oh, no. Temple Grandin did a beautiful job in 1999 explaining how when you're on the spectrum, you might actually make the best employee ever. You don't call off. You follow a schedule. You enjoy routines. You're good at learning tasks.
Yeah, you just have to have a workplace that accommodates the other end of the issues there.
Absolutely.
Brianna, what do you got going on for next week, real quick?
I'm writing about the ACM, the American Center for Mobility Facility.
Okay. So another community-facing service, all right.
Yeah, and I'm specifically reaching out to residents to see how they think the facility is impacting and affecting the neighborhood.
All right, so if we want more information about the ACC, the Autism Collaborative Center, you can find that at WEMU.org. We'll link over to them and the story that Brianna provides. It'll be published and up at concentratemedia.com, right?
Yep.
And then you can find them on Facebook at Concentrate A2.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm getting this down. Community newsroom, do you have one today?
Yeah, Cultivate from 4 to 7. It's our second to last newsroom, so next week will be our last newsroom at Cultivate.
We
also
still
from
talking
4 to 7.
About maybe extending the project?
Yes, hopefully.
All right. We hope to do so. Allison, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And I am Patrick Campion. This is 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti, your community NPR station.